Dead Meat Pete is homemade with no production financing of any kind. If you're enjoying the show, please help us out by leaving a positive review and sharing it with others.
Pete and Axel sat next to each other on a water tower, decorated with large red letters that read, Caddenville Pride. Through a pair of binoculars, Pete scanned the parking lot of a high school. He watched teenagers file out of buses and cars and gather in a courtyard before class. If the red leaves and cobalt sky weren't enough to prove it was Halloween, the orange streamers and paper vampires strewn about the courtyard drove it home.
What am I supposed to see?
Northwest.
I don't know where that is.
Look for the damn soda machines. You see the kid with the glasses?
Axel moved the binoculars for Pete, leading him until he found what he was looking for. A nerd. Axel read from a notebook filled with his chicken scratch handwriting.
Name's Lewis. Loves sci-fi and dress-up dragon games. Basically a nerd. He's the only one who knows how to kill bloody bones.
Yeah, I see him.
Now find the yellow umbrella. Group of rich kids. Girl in the pink sweater.
Alright. Oh, I see her. She's at a table with a bunch of other kids.
Tammy. Popular girl. Lewis is in love with her. Cause every nerd's in love with every cheerleader. Just how it works.
Yo, Tanya!
Sorry, that's Tanya. Yeah, Tanya. Other end of the table. Big guy in Letterman's jacket. Eric. Stock jock character and Tanya's ex. They pretend they hate each other and have a will they, won't they deal. They will.
Letterman. Yeah, got it.
Right. Next, over by the gym. Girl with the black hair, black boots, black everything.
Okay.
Audrey, the spooky one. Her old man's a piece of shit and he's gonna die in a few hours anyway. And Q Jax.
A leather jacket cool guy pulled up on a motorcycle and parked. His bike blocked the sidewalk, but he didn't seem too worried about it, or about anything for that matter.
Oh, tough guy, huh?
He's your standard rebel type. They had a lot of these outlaw guys in the 80s movies.
Through the binoculars, Pete watched Jax walk over a lawn to the courtyard. Wild, oiled hair, black shades, ripped jeans, dangly earrings. A female administrator followed him, yelling and pointing. Jax, of course, ignored her.
Believe it or not, that peckerhead's the one we gotta worry about the most.
See, I would've thought that'd be Bone Man.
If you don't kill Bloody Bones by dawn, you and Jax go back to the beginning of the movie without remembering any of this. And you never get to see your family.
That don't make any sense.
What?
Throwing in with these kids, or whatever. How's I supposed to get my family back?
You ain't teaming up with them, kid. You're gonna beat him to the punch.
So if we kill that thing, we can go find my family.
Oh no, not we. You. You have to kill Bloody Bones.
Well, shit.
They ought to be open. Let's go.
What? Go where?
The only place that takes all this mess and makes good sense of it.
Video store in Caddenville?
Of course you didn't. Did you know they had anything in Caddenville? You never seen it.
Oh, yeah. I guess.
Axel led the way through VHS-packed shelves. Pete was distracted by a cardboard cutout of a time-traveling skateboarder as they arrived in the horror section.
Every one of these tapes has a world. They got villains, heroes, nobody's like the people in here. And people like us. Dead meat.
Dead meat? What's that?
Bingo.
Axel picked up a tape and showed Pete the cover art. A tractor trailer with a massive clown face on the front that crushed skulls beneath its tires.
That was my truck.
You killed a bunch of people?
Oh, no. It was only my truck for a few minutes. First thing I remember was going to put gas in the tank. This guy stops me, tells me all the stuff I told you. A few minutes later, this guy comes out of the gas station and fills up my truck.
I bet a monster ate him.
Sorta. He takes off. This comet thing flies over and the sky goes green. The truck slams on brakes. The window goes down. The guy's head goes flying out.
What'd you do?
Well, first I kind of shit my pants for a little bit. Then the guy told me what I had to do to break out of the loop.
You gotta kill the monster.
Or fix the problem. Do the thing the main character's supposed to do before they can do it.
But how does that save us?
Well, I don't know, but here's my theory. I think we're bugs in some kind of system. It's okay to screw with the movie, but if we do the main thing, that's it. The movie just spits us out.
Into, like, outer space?
Into another world. Another movie. Maybe a black and white one with a castle, or into some dark, distant future with aliens and robots.
Axel pulled a tape off the wall and held it up.
Okay, see this mask guy? I smashed this dude into a wall with a school bus.
He picked up a black and white VHS with a vampire on the cover.
This son of a bitch. I cut his head off with a scythe, right? But first I had to get it blessed. You know how hard it is to get a priest to bless anything? Try a rusty scythe. Anyway, I got pretty rough with him.
So I kill that monster. I get out of this world into another.
You got it.
But isn't that just another place with another monster?
You kill that one, bam. We jump to a new horror movie.
We?
Yep. We go together. I don't belong here, so I go with you.
We just jump around movies forever.
Yeah. It's better than being stuck in the same death scene forever, which is what'll happen if you don't stop Bloody Bones by 2 a.m.
But how does this help me find my family?
Look around. The people who live in these worlds, they live in other worlds too. Your wife and daughter, they don't even show up in this movie. But they gotta be in something.
But what if I just fix whatever made them disappear?
Kid, you're not listening. They never existed here. You want to see them? You gotta get out.
I kill this thing. I'm out there with them.
Easy peasy.
Pete walked down the aisle and studied the vibrant VHS horror covers. Hand-painted tableaus of screaming skulls and supernatural light. Clawed hands reached out. Dead eyes stared.
Okay, tell me what to do.
The school basement was a twisting labyrinth of metal pipes that occasionally belched hot steam. It was an off-limits and dark place, the perfect spot for hiding out from bullies, having awkward hookups, or smoking a joint before pre-algebra. For two stocky teen boys in denim jackets, it was the latter.
Come on, man, get it out. Be quiet, dumbass. We get busted, my old man will have my nuts.
You let your old man have your nuts? I knew it.
You know shit about weed, man.
Shut up! Did you hear that?
Noisy pipes, dipshit. You're just weed scared.
Nuh-uh.
He pointed at an especially dark corner. His friend, a burnout who nicknamed himself Metalhead, rolled his eyes. He stood up and walked into the darkness, lighter held out like a torch, dimly lighting the way.
Oh!
Metalhead flipped around so fast you would think there was an axe murderer behind him. But the only thing there was his friend, a boy cursed by God with bug eyes. Metalhead turned back and continued on his journey into the dark corner. He just barely missed seeing the massive figure emerge beside his poor, frightened friend. Bug Eyes opened his mouth to cry out, but a burst of steam obscured Bug Eyes' slaughter. It was fast and brutal and ended with a bloodbath. As the pipes finished their scream and returned to silence, Metalhead heard a strange new sound that made him turn around again. Something rolled across the concrete, coming to a stop at his feet. The impossibly large, stunned eyes of his best friend looked up from the floor, a bug-eyed head torn from its body. Metalhead's eyes drifted from the severed head to the thing towering above it. The light from the flame danced over a demonic shape, a thing with eyes too knowing to be animal, a grin too wide, too full of needle teeth to be human. The unholy face of Bloody Bones. Metalhead wasn't what you'd call in shape, but he ran as if he were a jock. He cleared the corner to find, blocking his way, a cart filled to the brim with scrap metal. Flipping over on his back, he looked up to see Bloody Bones nearly on top of him. He snatched a piece of jagged metal from the floor beside him and pointed it up at the descending beast. Bloody Bones fell on the weapon, letting the sharp metal sink into the hole where its nose should have been. The monster was unbothered by the injury. The creature flung Metalhead over on his stomach, the scrap metal protruding from its face like a horn. It slashed open the boy's entire back in a single flourish. As Bloody Bones reached in to rip out the spinal cord, it noticed something strange. A chrome sphere hovered above the scene, watching. Across from the high school sat a fast food restaurant, unmistakably and unapologetically a Burger King. There were Coca-Cola products with logos somehow visible from every angle. Axel and Pete sat on top of a plastic picnic table enjoying biscuits with unidentified meat hanging from the sides.
Okay, a couple of things first. The kid ran for the entrance and for no reason, a pipe burst and he was stopped by the steam.
Yeah, that seemed weird.
Exactly. Too convenient. That's the movie at work. Generally, you can't leave the same way you came in. It won't work. Something almost always happens that stops you.
What if you're like in an empty field or something?
It's more of an indoor thing. Look, the point is, you always want to look for a hidden window. Move some curtains, push over a bookshelf. There's always a window. Second, you saw how we just pointed something sharp and the monster kind of fell into it without caring?
Yeah, it looked like he gave a shit. Didn't mess him up or nothing.
It rarely does. There are some monsters you can just run over or throw off a cliff. But most of the time, you need a secret weapon. I have a little saying. Unequipped, run. Don't trip. Huh?
That's a good one.
But if you are equipped with a secret weapon and knowledge of how to use it, then you're in business.
So what's a secret for Bloody Bones?
This weapon's tricky. And if Lewis doesn't already know about it, he's about to.
In the school library, Lewis sat at a table obscured by a stack of books, enthralled by whatever he was reading. Audrey and Tanya sat at separate tables to his left and right. Neither seemed to be engaged in anything as interesting as Lewis. All three of their faces shot up from their books at the screaming woman. Lewis flailed, knocked over a stack, and revealed a book with shimmering gold letters that read, Fables of Old Cadenville. As he opened it, an inexplicable glow illuminated his face, and the page showed an illustration of a slain Bloody Bones, with the secret weapon displayed above, circled in number 2 pencil. It was a large red
amulet? That's weird. What do you use a slingshot or something? Some of you gotta be pretty close to do that. I'm not gonna get in the same room with this thing. That's a no-go. More like a potato gun.
There was another image showing how the weapon was used. A cloaked man straddled the monster, shoving the amulet down its throat, shoulder deep in its jaws. Below that was an illustration of the aftermath. The man lay with blood gushing from his shoulder. His entire arm had been sacrificed in the monster's mouth.
Dead Meat Pete, a Straw House Pictures production. Written and directed by Chris Gervais. Story contributions by Micah Troublefield and Chris Nolan. Starring Chris Gervais as Pete, Renee Alfonso as Axel, Rodney Stringfellow as the narrator, Cagney Larkin as Metalhead, and Ryan Martell as Bug Eyes. Find Ryan and Cagney's podcast, Martell's Movie Madness, wherever you listen to podcasts. Produced by Micah Troublefield and Anil Dokai. Music by Soft Neon. Find the soundtrack at softneonmusic.com. Audio design by Andrew Hall. Recorded and edited by Chris Gervais. Editing assistance by Allison Malden. To learn more, visit deadmeatpete.com. Support for this project is provided by the Arts Council of York County Small Grants Program, the John and Susan Bennett Memorial Arts Fund of the Coastal Community Foundation of South Carolina, and the South Carolina Arts Commission, which received funding from the National Endowment for the Arts and Comporium Communications. We're very grateful for this grant. It is specifically for marketing season 1, and we have no production financing of any kind. Please help us out by leaving a positive review and sharing Dead Meat Pete with others. It's the only way we'll be able to continue the adventures of Axel and Pete.